here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we just wrapped up a series on church leadership, and now move into a different series that we want to do for the next few weeks in regards to the gospel. And some people may say, hey, you guys talk a lot about the gospel, and right. That seems to be kind of the catchword that you use a lot within your ministry.
It is
and
a
your
bit
resources.
Of a catchword.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know, and the thing about it is that we talk a lot about it, but we talk a lot about it because there's a need for the gospel to be central in our life and our family and our church.
Yeah.
Because we can never take it for granted that those who are listening or those who are engaging with understand the gospel fully, clearly, biblically speaking. And I think, more importantly, we as Christians need to be reminded of the gospel. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves.
And we need to live gospel-centered lives.
Absolutely. That's not just a catchphrase.
No.
That's a reality should be a reality.
Should be.
And so we want to take these next few weeks to really hopefully give a clear biblical view of what the gospel is. And today we want to talk about the necessity, which I believe is contingent upon our depravity. That's why we are have the necessity of the gospel.
You gave it away right on the front end.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought we'd just let the cat out of the bag on that. So without really wasting any more time here, we'll jump in and talk about that. And three things are going to guide us. One is humans are dead. Humans are blind. And humans are deceived. And we're just going to be real encouraging here.
Right.
We're going to be real positive and build people up.
No, it is. In a negative sort of way.
Right. But anyway, humans are dead. What do we mean by that?
Well, it would help if we understand that when the Bible speaks about life, it uses two different terms for life, depending on what kind of life it's talking about. It uses a term for physical life and living. When it talks about being heirs together, the grace of life, that actually uses a term for physical life there. It's a different Greek word than when Peter says he has given unto us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. In that passage, it uses the term for spiritual life. One is the Greek word bios, the other is zoe. And you can recognize those in the words biology and zoology. And so, if that is the case, then there are a lot of people who are walking around physically alive, but not spiritually alive. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul speaks to the Ephesian Christians there and says, you were dead, past tense for them, in trespasses and in sin. So that's a condition that is naturally occurring to human beings.
Well, and you've kind of already brought this out, but there really is in the scriptures only two forms of the way of speaking of life, biological and spiritual.
Right.
And what we're focusing on here is spiritual. And in what he says, when you're dead in your trespasses and sins, people need to realize that's spiritual.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not at all wrong to say that without Christ, men and women and young people are walking dead men, walking dead people. We think of the person in the casket as literally dead, but a person who is dead in their sins is literally dead. They're just not physically dead, they're spiritually dead.
Let me ask you this, because I think our listeners, we want to make sure we're clear on this, but why? Why did that happen? Like, why are we dead? Like, I mean, people can be thinking to themselves, okay, so I'm dead. I can believe I'm a sinner. I'm a bad person. But where'd that come from? What's the root of that?
Right. Well, we're dead because we're sons of Adam.
Right. And
by Adam, death entered into the world. By one man's sin, death entered into the world. And we've talked before about Adam being our federal head. He's the federal head of the human race. And what he did affected, in fact, the whole race did in him. We were in him. He's our first
father. We're born into sin.
Yes.
We are born dead.
We are. We're born dead spiritually. People don't like that.
Right.
People chafe at it, and they think, how can that be? Where's responsibility in that? Well, it is as it is, and that's what Scripture teaches.
And if people want to do further study, they can go to Romans 5.
Romans
5
is a good
place.
Spend some
time in Romans.
First Corinthians
read the
chapter.
Book of Genesis at the first part, kind of get the full story.
Right. First Corinthians chapter 15. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Yeah.
And that federal headship is crucial to understanding the condition of humanity and the scriptures in general and the gospel.
So but for basis right now, and what we're talking about on a basic level is we're dead.
Right. Okay? Exactly.
And we call this total inability.
Yes.
We do not mean that they cannot do anything physically, meaning they can't pick up a rock, they can't work, they can't... But they cannot do anything that is acceptable to God.
When we say total inability, we mean that every facet of a human's being is affected by
their spiritual depravity.
Yeah. Yes, their spiritual deadness affects everything about them.
Right. So there's really a totality when it comes to that, a completeness. Okay, so we're talking about being dead. We know in particular that comes from being in Adam. That is where we get that presupposition there. But also humans are blind. Because we are dead, we're now therefore blind.
Right.
Let's kind of delve into that a little bit.
Both terms are descriptive of our inability. In this case, our inability to see. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "But even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, who are lost, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Now, physical sight is the ability to receive and process light. If there were not light in this world, we wouldn't need eyes, and we wouldn't need to be able to see, much like the catfish that people talk about in the streams that are in Mammoth Cave. Those fish don't need to see. They
or
live
bats.
In darkness,
yeah, or
whatever's
bats.
Down there. But
right.
Exactly. So, but humans physically need to be able to see to function. Now, it's true that blind people do learn to function.
Right.
But they can't process light. They can't see the things in front of them. They can feel them. They can remember where they are.
But they can't comprehend it.
They can't process them with their eyes.
So what you're saying is the absence of the ability of the eyes to comprehend, process, and receive life is what we're talking about, spiritual light.
Right. The light of the gospel. The light of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The light of Christ.
You know, so we live in a dark world. So everything that surrounds us and consumes us is darkness.
Right.
So therefore we cannot discern between light and darkness.
Right.
All we see is darkness.
Right. You're born blind. So everything... You don't discern the difference because that's all you've ever seen is spiritual darkness. And the need, the human being has to be able to receive the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, the light of the glory of Christ and of God in the face of Christ, and process it in order to be saved. It cannot do it.
So what you would say, the fact that we're dead, spiritual blindness is the result of deadness.
Well, I guess you could say that. Yeah, they're two different terms to describe the condition of inability. We are dead spiritually, literally, and we are literally blind spiritually. But yes, dead men don't see, do they?
Right. Well, I think you explained it to me very, very long time ago. I think it was a very vivid way of explaining this. But I think something in particular men can understand in this way. If, you know, you have a dead man laying on the street, if you will.
Right.
And he's just there, and a woman who is maybe lewdly dressed walks by. He's not going to respond to that or even have the compelling desire.
Yeah. He's not going to be bothered by lust. Yeah.
Respond to that in any way by looking at it or lusting after that or taking pleasure in that in any way.
Right.
Because he is dead physically.
Right.
That is a picture of our spiritual deadness. We do not have the ability to even have a spiritual desire. We could do good things. The problem is it's tainted by our wickedness and our sinfulness.
Right. And even, those who are blind physically, they don't respond to those kinds. I'm not saying they don't have desires, but they don't respond to things as men or women who see. And so spiritually speaking, humans cannot see the light of the gospel.
So basically we're talking about our inability to see the gospel, the state that we're in. That's what the Bible is trying to define for us, describe for us, so that we can understand, for us believers, why people can't see the gospel.
Right.
I think that would help us as believers. If we're trying to share the gospel with people and they don't respond, I think it's easy to become frustrated.
Yes.
Why don't you see this?
Right.
It's so clear. It's so plain.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's logical. Like, it, you know, that's what you're thinking.
Plain.
Right.
To the lost person.
So we talk about humans are dead, humans are blind, but lastly, humans are deceived. What's the difference there? Why are we talking about this after we've already talked about blindness and deadness?
Right. It's interesting that when Jesus, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, we know that you're a teacher sent from God, or you wouldn't be able to do the things you do. Well, it didn't matter that he knew that Jesus was something special.
Right.
And Jesus cut right past all the chaff.
He saw through him.
And went right through, right to his problem. He said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot. And the word see there is more the word understand.
Hmm. So later, comprehension.
Yeah, and exactly. And then in the discussion, Nicodemus says, well, how can a man be born again and get back in his mother's womb?
So he's thinking about physical and not spiritual.
He is. He's thinking physically. Hmm. He is. Jesus is talking in spiritual terms, and Jesus says, are you, and he literally says, are you the teacher in Israel? Do you not know these things? I mean, it's not that Jesus is incredulous, because he knows already. He doesn't.
Or that he's taken back.
But he's making a point here. You don't see more than that. You don't know or understand. You can't grapple with. You don't have a knowledge of the gospel.
So by the question he's asking, he's literally making him try to think about his state and where he's at.
He's showing him his lostness. And that's something we need to do with the gospel. We need to show people their lostness. We should not be afraid of showing people that they're lost. Now, somebody is going to say, well, if they're dead and they can't do anything, and they're blind and they can't see anything, and their understanding is darkened, and that's exactly what Paul says, their understanding is darkened, and they can't understand anything, then why in the world are we going to witness to them anyway? And we're going to talk about that more later.
Right.
But
maybe I should just leave it there. Well, you know.
Because God has told us.
Right. And we don't have time for that.
We're going to talk gospel. About it. We are going to talk about that more specifically and why that's important.
Let me pose this in a question. We're talking about the necessity
of the gospel.
Of the gospel. So that people, and this is a question, so that people will, first of all, I should say people that are believers will see why it is people don't understand the gospel.
Right.
And we're also talking about the gospel, or I should say the necessity of the gospel, so that people who are not believers see their need for the gospel.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And maybe we can just go there a little bit, but what does Paul say to the Romans? The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. I'm an old enough man now, and I've grown up in church. And I've seen all kinds of gimmicks to get people to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They are a waste of time. Because gimmicks don't, games don't bring men and women to a place of seeing the gospel and seeing Christ. The gospel itself is the power of God and the salvation. So you say, well, people don't understand the gospel. That's true. And that's why we pray like it all depends on God.
Well, and in that case, if we're talking about the necessity, I believe the necessity actually reveals the power and glory of God.
Yeah.
I mean, if the necessity reveals the depravity,
right,
and reveals the blindness and the utter deception that is there,
right,
then the necessity also reveals the complete, awesome, incredible power of God to do something that is impossible for man to do.
Right. Maybe most of us have heard preachers say we've got to get a person lost before we can get them saved. And I think we know what they mean by that.
Right.
That we've got to get them to see their lostness.
They got to see that they're lost.
They've got to see that they're lost. But there's a flip side of that. We've got to see just how lost they are too.
Mm.
If we're going to be effective and have a proper view of the gospel and effective as witnesses, we're not going to do it by depending upon human means. We're not going to do it by depending upon the person somehow coming around. If we could just get, you know, they're a pretty good person, we could just get them to see. No, we've got to see how lost, how depraved they are. And that's going to drive us to look to the only one who can do something about it.
So before we wrap up here, last question. Would you say that the effectiveness of our evangelism, our missions, and that which we do in going out from our church is contingent upon our view of this?
Absolutely. I believe missionaries and people who share the gospel everywhere have to have the proper view, and this is the elemental view. This is, I said to you earlier, this is elemental, but it's essential. This is the starting place for the gospel. If we don't get this right, we're not going to get it right. We're going to bring people down aisles, or we're going to get them to raise hands. We're going to get them to do all kinds of things except the one thing that is necessary for salvation, which we'll talk about another time. But we must get this elemental, essential part of the gospel, and that is the depravity of the human heart, the deadness, the blindness, the absolute inability of humans to come to Christ.
Well, amen. Unfortunately, that's all we got time for now. So, well, we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministry. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.